Good evening, everybody. Welcome. May the Lord bless you tonight. May the Lord bless you tonight. Tonight I'm going to be speaking to you.
Tonight I'm going to be speaking
on something
to you
that we on something should all
should
have
all
a lot more of.
Have a lot more
in our
of
life.
In our life.
Speaking to you on, I'm going to be speaking to you
being
on
thankful.
Being thankful.
You know that
it's
you know
very
that
easy.
It's very
in the days
easy.
That we're living in now.
Especially in the days that
when
we're living in
problems,
now.
There's lots of
there's
issues.
Lots of problems.
There's
crime
in the country.
There's crime in the country.
There's
inflation.
Inflation.
It's easy to become.
It's easy
very
to become
unthankful.
Very unthankful.
And you know what that attitude?
And you know what that
is not going to get you very far in life.
This is not going to get
you
very far in life.
I would like to share with you a message.
I would like to share with you a message
to get you to understand
that is
why
it is crucially
important
for
you
and I,
crucially
even in this time
you and
I are living in,
even in this time that
we're living in,
that
we should never
get rid of spirit,
our thankful,
grateful
spirit,
towards God.
Spirit.
I'm going to read you from the book of Luke, starting from verse
11
to verse 19.
Now on his way to Jerusalem,
Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee, and as he was going into a village, men who had leprosy stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice,
Master,
have pity on us.
Have pity
when
on
he
us.
Saw them,
he said,
when he saw them,
go,
he said,
show
go.
Yourselves to the priests.
Show yourselves
and
to the priests.
Went, and as they went,
they were
one of them.
When he saw that he was healed, came back.
When he saw that he was healed,
came back
in a very loud voice.
In a very loud voice,
he threw himself at Jesus' feet.
He threw himself at Jesus' feet,
and he thanked him.
And he was a Samaritan.
And he was a Samaritan.
Now Jesus asked,
"Were not all 10 cleansed?
Were not all 10 cleansed?
Where then are the other 9?
Where then are the other 9?
Was no one found to return and give praise to God?
No one found to return and give praise to God?
Or accept
this?
And then he said to him,
Arise."
For your
and
faith
well.
Has made
for
you
your faith
well.
Has made you
all right.
Well.
All right. We find here the story of
we
ten
find
men.
Here the story of
who
ten
all
men.
Had
you
all had problems.
You
how many of you know that if you have leprosy,
you know that if you have leprosy,
problems.
You've got serious
right?
problems.
I mean,
right?
You take all the problems
I mean,
that you have.
You take all the problems
we combine
that you all have, of our problems.
We
combine all of our problems
and we multiply
them by
1,000 and
you still don't have
a bigger problem than
these
people have.
You all know that when you have leprosy stuff,
you all know that when you
have
leprosy
stuff,
all sorts of
stuff happened, eh?
You know, all sorts of stuff happened, eh?
That was a pretty
disastrous disease.
It was extremely dangerous and
it was
more than dangerous and it was more than
contagious.
Which is one of the reasons why these people were never found amongst the rest of the population.
Find them,
you would normally find them
somewhere off
on their
somewhere
own.
Off
for two reasons.
Own.
For two
firstly
reasons.
Because the
firstly
law
because
of God
the law
actually
of God
stipulated that they were not allowed to live
that they were not allowed
general
to live amongst
the general
population. There was some
population.
They were outside
the village, way
outside the village,
way outside the village,
outside the village,
the village
in a certain distance
that they
the village
to dwell,
and they were not allowed to
dwell
and mingle
and
with
the rest of the
mingle with
the rest of the population.
The rest of the population
definitely did not want to dwell.
If you were walking down the street and a leper came from the other side,
I promise you,
you disappear
right?
Quickly.
People treated them like they had the plague.
Because in those days leprosy was
because in those days leprosy was
a plague.
Leviticus 13 verse 45 tells us
13
why.
Verse 45 tells us why.
The person with such an infectious
the person
disease
with such an infectious
must
disease.
Wear torn clothes,
must wear
let
torn
his hair
clothes,
be unkempt,
let his hair be
he must
unkempt,
cover the lower part of his
he must
face,
cover
and he
the
must
lower part
of his face,
unclean,
and he must cry out
unclean,
unclean,
as long as he has the infection,
as long as he has the infection,
unclean,
he remains.
He must
unclean.
Live alone, and
he must live alone,
and he
must
live outside of the camp.
Now just listen to this. I mean,
now
how disastrous
can
your life
be?
Can your life
first of all, you've got leprosy, which means that you've got
all this funny
which means
stuff,
that you've got all this funny stuff
draining
out of your skin.
Pieces of your body parts,
pieces
of
your body
parts
away.
Might just rot
you
away.
You personally don't feel very well.
You personally
you
don't feel
very well.
Yourself.
You don't feel very good about
you've
yourself.
You've probably got pain all the time.
You've probably got
pain
like
all the time
anything.
Because you know if you've got
like
problems
anything.
On your skin,
because
you know
if
you've got problems
right?
on your skin,
but now you can't really scratch because
now you can't really
sores
because
you're
just making
things
worse.
And
you're
just
making
you're
things
worse. You're attracting flies like it's going
out of fashion. You're attracting flies like
you're only out of fashion.
That your
only
friendship right now is hanging around you.
Beelzebub's buddy is hanging around you.
And then as
you're not bad enough,
and then as you're
not bad enough,
way outside
somewhere
you're
You're not allowed to spend time with anybody else.
You had to walk around with torn clothes, so that people from a distance could see that there was something wrong with you.
You had to cover your face.
You had to cover
your face.
And whenever you saw somebody, you had to shout out and see that there was something wrong with you. I don't want to be funny, but there was not a lot of dignity in leprosy. Can you see leprosy?
So what I'm trying to get you to understand is that these poor men did not have much of a life.
Lepers lived quite a pathetic life.
In complete isolation to everybody else.
And they were treated with loathing by everybody that saw them.
They generally just had one of the most miserable lives that you could ever think of.
You may very well say, when you look at the way that they had to live by people, whether they actually had a life at all. You could probably say those poor men did not live from day to day. And can I tell you what they probably came to? Most of them were hoping and praying and wishing that the end would just come so that they could be delivered or healed or whatever. How many of you know that that was not a disaster? Wave with me if you can understand that that was a disaster. All right, then.
Then Jesus is walking down the road.
And he meets up with these lepers.
This is how it happened.
How many of you know that Jesus, wherever he went, made an impact on people?
Okay? Wherever Jesus went, there was no way that you could be anywhere close to the proximity of Jesus Christ and see the things that he did, the power of God manifest, the power of God, and not get excited, and not get charged.
When he woke up in the mornings, the Bible says he spent time with his father.
After he had spent time with his father, being filled with the Holy Spirit, people would start streaming towards him. He very seldom just healed somebody for a lifetime. He would teach them something first. In other words, most people problems that most people thought they were doing wrong from one they were doing wrong pertaining to the kingdom of God. A lot of people suffer because they bring the same mistakes over and over again.
Neil, if you keep doing the same thing wrong, let's make it clear that Neil doesn't really know how to drive.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, that Neil doesn't know how to drive.
Okay. He learned from Mario Andretti, or something. So his way of driving is, you rev 7,000 RPMs, you pull off as quickly as possible, and if there isn't smoke hanging around the back of the car for at least 2 minutes, then you haven't done the job properly.
Now, he doesn't come from Funabile, he comes from Alberton. I know you thought he was from Funabile.
He bought this new car. And he bought the first time he bought the people from BMW. He's fighting with 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 the people from BMW. He's figh
And what they are simply trying to do is that they are trying to show him that this is how you pull away. And you don't deadline it in every gear.
Is that right?
If they keep replacing the clutch for you, driving style ever change. But if somebody sits him down, and explains to him why there is a chance that his driving style might change.
Well, his car lasts a lot longer.
Jesus did not just believe in healing you for the sake of healing.
There was a reason why some people feel depressed.
Some people there is a reason why they feel permanently got the case of anxiety and whatever.
It could have to do with your lifestyle.
Somebody needs to teach you how to do it right.
So Jesus would teach you.
And the people would come in their droves.
And the people would come in their droves.
He had a way of teaching. The Bible says he did not teach them as the Pharisees liked to speak down on people.
Jesus was just one of the people.
Jesus was just
one of the people.
Interesting, unique way of teaching.
When Jesus made sense, when Jesus taught you,
you sat there and you thought to yourself,
Why did I never see it that way?
And as the crowds began to come,
eventually Jesus would move, by that time there would probably be 100 people, 200 people, 200 people back then were small, so the house would become pretty cramped.
And then he would begin to heal people.
And the blind eyes would open, and the deaf ears would hear, and the people that the world had never fixed, and the life of Jesus, one by one, they came to Jesus, and boom, he would heal them. People that had evil spirits would be delivered.
The power of God would come upon them, and some of them would even say, you are the Son of God.
If you witnessed all of that happen, would it make an impression on you?
Raise your hands if it would not make an impression on you.
Well, good.
Now, the thing is, when you witness something like that, human nature depicts something about it.
What are you going to do about it if you see something like that?
Come on, what are you going to do? I can't understand that.
You are female, aren't you?
There is a telephone in your house.
I mean, what's wrong with you?
I mean, what's wrong with you?
For goodness.
Or did your husband hide the phone?
I tell you what, most of you would do. You would immediately pick up the telephone and you would phone everybody that you know and you would say, man, you will not believe what I just did.
There was this man, and he explained it to me in a way that made sense, and I realized I've got a lot of problems in my life, and God has delivered me.
He cast this devil out of me. There was this person in a wheelchair, and he prays for them, and in a wheelchair, and you know what? I know that they were in a wheelchair, and suddenly their legs just got power, and then there was another man that was blind.
And so you go on, and
you see back then they didn't have telephones.
So they had to run all over the place and tell everybody.
I tell you what, when Jesus walked the planet, people were very.
Because after he moved through an area, everybody was running to everybody else, telling them what they just witnessed.
Those acts would have done the comrades in like five hours.
Because people lived far from one another, and they couldn't wait to get to another town. Now the point that I'm trying to make is
when Jesus walked this earth, news about him spread like wildfire.
And often when he walked into a new town, the sick was everywhere, the blind was everywhere, the news had spread now.
The lepers lived outside of the city.
Now you see, the thing is, they had nothing better to do than to just watch the gate all day and every day.
And one specific day, there was just a lot of commotion, all the people came running in, and there was big excitement, and they saw all the other sites, and they saw if you were lame, you could still live.
If you had leprosy, you had to live outside.
But the lepers could see that the sick people were coming out, all the sick people
people were coming out, all the sick people, everybody was excited. The city and everybody was excited.
And so some of them probably went a bit closer.
Some of them probably went
to try and find out what was going on.
Just to try and find out what was going on.
And then they heard that Jesus was.
And then they heard that Jesus was.
And they probably heard stories of Jesus before.
And they probably heard stories of Jesus before.
News travels.
And they realize that they need
and
to
they
get
realize
to this man
that because,
they need to get to this man because
you know what, if he can open the eyes of
you know
the
what,
blind,
if he can open the eyes of
chances
the blind,
are,
he can probably
are,
deal with leprosy.
He can probably deal with leprosy.
If he can raise the dead,
if he can raise the dead,
he can probably deal with leprosy.
He can probably deal with
because
leprosy.
You see the thing is they'd heard all
because
of these other
the
things they'd heard all of these other
and
reports
they knew
come to them
Jesus
and they knew
could deal with
Jesus
their problems.
Could deal with their problems.
Now you see the thing is the Bible tells us.
Now you see the thing
they
is the Bible tells us
at him from
they
a
shouted
distance.
Out at him from a distance.
The law dictated that
the law had
leprosy.
That
you were not
if
allowed,
you had leprosy. You were not within 100 feet
to come within
100
individual.
Feet of another.
So
individual.
The moment you got to within 100,
so the moment
feet,
you got to within 100 feet,
which could have been yards.
Just say
it might be
could have been yards.
It's either feet or yards, but it's
either feet or yards, but it's quite.
You had to stop.
And remember, then you had to shout out that
give the person an advance warning.
They didn't have
warning.
To tell Jesus that they
they
were
didn't
unclean.
Have to tell Jesus that they were unclean. He could see that.
But they began to shout out, and they
but they began
him,
to shout
Lord,
out, and they asked him,
have
"Lord,
have mercy
on us."
You see, the thing is, they realized.
You see, the thing is, they realized.
If they ever had any hope,
if they ever had any hope,
this absolute curse
that
they were living under,
then that hope was
100 yards.
And you see, they were not going to stop shouting.
You see, they were not
going to
stop
gonna
shouting,
stop screaming.
They were
they
not
probably made
screaming.
Such a big
they
fuss.
Probably made such
it was
a
the
big
one day
fuss.
That they weren't worried
it was
about
the one day that they weren't worried about
jumping up and down.
Or
they
were doing whatever they
can
to
find doing
whatever
they
can to
try and get Jesus
to be a sight to behold.
That must have been a sight to behold.
But they knew we have.
But they knew
we have
man
and
get
the man
to come and minister to us
because
if
we might die this way.
We might die this
but
way.
If he can touch me,
but if he
or if
can
he can
do
me,
something for me,
or if he can do something
my
for
life
me,
back.
I might.
Now my question to
back.
You is: if
now
you question to you
like
is:
that.
If you had,
no
had no like that,
if you had
no
had, had any hope,
if you had not
had, had,
had, had any hope,
and
you knew that you knew that
you knew that
coming
knew
that this person
coming
your life
because you also heard
your life
because
you
also
heard
you probably knew somebody that had
some incurable disease and
you might have known a blind man and
you
might have known a blind man.
And Jesus
eyes.
Touched him and
what
opened
would you
his
have
eyes.
Done? What would you have done?
You would have done exactly the same.
You would have done
exactly
done.
The same that they had done.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they went
you
and
know,
they
I wouldn't be surprised if they went around
and
they laid
even past
flat
them.
In the road
said,
that he couldn't even pass
mercy.
Them and said, please have mercy.
Please just heal me.
Please just
please
do something and change my life.
Please do something and change my life.
Okay.
Now, it's true that in most
now,
instances,
it's true that in most instances,
when Jesus healed people,
when Jesus healed
he would
people,
actually minister to them, in
he would
the
actually
minister
would
to them
it.
In the sense that
he would
place
them.
His hands on them,
he would
place his hands on them,
or he would
just
he command would
them,
for them,
or he would
just
command
healed.
Them.
I say in most
be
cases because
I say in most
cases
because
he obviously
case,
could not do that.
He obviously could
because
not do
bound
that.
By law.
He wasn't bound
by law.
He wasn't allowed
to come within
100 yards.
They were not allowed to come within 100 yards
of him.
And so.
You see, for
and
some
so
of us, that might have been
see,
a problem.
For some of us, that might have been
but
a problem.
But for Jesus, that was no problem.
But for Jesus, that was no problem.
The fact of the matter is,
because the fact of the
he
matter
is, the Son
is.
Of God.
He is the Son of God.
And he doesn't have to actually touch
and
you.
And he doesn't have to
in order for
touch
him
you.
To heal you.
In order
Matthew,
for him to heal you.
Chapter 12,
Matthew,
verse 9.
Chapter 12, verse 9.
Going on from place,
going on
from place,
Jesus
from
place,
went into their synagogue.
Jesus went into their synagogue.
And
the man with a shriveled hand
was
now looking for a reason to accuse
now
Jesus,
looking for a reason to
they
asked
Jesus
they
is
asked
it lawful
him,
to heal on the Sabbath
lawful to heal
and he said
on the
to them,
Sabbath
and
if
any
them,
of you as a sheep
and
if any of you as a sheep
on the Sabbath
and falls into a pit
will you not
take
day,
hold of it
will you not
it
take
out,
hold of it
and
now how
out.
Much more valuable is a man
now,
than a sheep?
More valuable is a man
than a sheep
it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath
it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath
said to the man
straighten out your hand
so he stretched
your hand out,
and it was
so he stretched it
out, and it was
just
as sound as the
other.
Just
as sound
the as
the other.
The Pharisees were always looking for a way.
Were always looking
to find
for
a way.
Have a problem
and or
have a problem
complain
or
complain
have
or
an issue with Jesus.
Have an issue
and
with
so
Jesus.
They knew that
and
there
so
was a man in the
they
synagogue.
They knew that there was a man in the synagogue.
They also heard the
shriveled hand,
and
they
wherever
heard
Jesus
report
went,
that
wherever Jesus went,
he ministered God's healing.
He ministered God's healing.
To the sick.
And they were looking for a reason.
And they were looking
for a
reason
to accuse him. It was the Sabbath day, and generally, a Jew on the Sabbath day is allowed
but
to go to church,
to do anything else.
But he's not allowed to do anything else.
And so they were just waiting for Jesus to heal this man, which is a little bit
because weird. Even if you just touch somebody,
I mean,
you often touch people, don't you?
I mean, you often touch people.
A young mother would have to help her little babies get dressed.
You see, their hearts were not pure because
they touched one another all the time.
But they wanted to look for a reason.
That they could start a fight.
And so they were expecting Jesus to go and touch this man
and maybe do something funny and maybe do something funny and heal him.
And so they asked,
Is it lawful to heal this man on the Sabbath?
And they knew that Jesus would probably say yes, but Jesus was clever.
He said to them, listen here, who of you has a donkey, calf, or a lamb, or whatever?
Now what would you do when that calf falls into the pit? Regardless of the Sabbath or not.
And then Jesus gave them this answer. He said to them, that calf is worth maybe
1,000 rand.
How do you put value on human life?
If you believe in your heart that it is lawful to save the life of a calf, why on earth can God not save the life of a man?
Even though it is the Sabbath.
It was stupid, but just to prove to them that he was the Son of God and that he had the power to heal, all he said was, And the moment that man stretched out his hand, that hand that was shriveled up, suddenly began alive, began to move, and Jesus proved that he was the sovereign Lord of Lords,
and Jesus was the healer.
You see, faith is one of the keys if you want divine healing, my friend, does not just take place. The word of God says, without faith it is impossible to please God, and you can't please God unless we are obedient to God. And so if you, when Jesus told that man with the shriveled up hand to extend, Jesus was really saying to him, by doing this, you will prove to me that you have faith and you will be restored.
Because the man probably thought to himself, I'm going to stretch out my hand, but change.
What's that really going
to
change?
And it was for him to get to the place that he would not allow that he would choose to believe, even though it seems impossible. Faith is the ability to believe things that your mind says is impossible, but believe like a child because God says it is.
That man had to overcome what his mind was telling him.
Now we also know that the devil speaks to us in our mind.
Let me tell you something, when you pray for something, you've never heard the devil scream like you're hearing him audibly.
And I'm not speaking audibly. This is not going to work. This is nonsense. This is rubbish. This doesn't happen anymore.
If you've ever been prayed for healing, you will know that the moment somebody begins to pray for you, another thought comes, they prayed for you before, nothing happened. Why should it happen now?
There's a lot of people that love to say there's divine healing, but it only happened because Jesus himself did it, or because he commissioned them to do it.
But what they don't realize is that the Bible says that every disciple of Jesus Christ has
the ability to pray for the sick.
And they will. and they will.
We are told in the New Testament that we must go out and preach the gospel.
We must lay our hands on the sick.
We must lay our hands on the sick, and they will recover.
And you see, that has never changed.
And you see, that has never changed.
But even Jesus could not heal when people did not have faith.
The Bible says that there were regions when he went to those regions. When he went to those regions, he performed miracles
because the people there did not believe.
Now, in the same way, these lepers. What did Jesus say to them? He did not even say to them.
He did not bring some elaborate prayer, and he called on the Father, and he begged the Father for mercy, and he begged the Father for mercy, and he begged in God's name.
He just simply said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And they had to, by faith,
do what he commanded them.
And you see, the thing is, the moment that they acted in faith,
the key to healing,
was released
in their life.
Their faith with the power and the anointing of Jesus' life
that healing,
to bring about.
So what I'm trying to say to you is this.
Jesus does not have to physically come and touch you in order to heal you.
The Holy Spirit is everywhere.
And it is the Holy Spirit in Jesus.
Upon Jesus' life.
And upon Jesus' God,
that the Bible says, without measure,
the Bible says,
resided upon
Jesus' life.
That anointing Jesus' life.
That anointing went forth through him.
And touch those.
And this is very good news because I want you to listen.
You might be here tonight with some issue.
You might be here tonight with some issue.
Told you this can't change.
No, this marriage will never come right.
No, this thing will never be right.
You've got this disease and that disease.
Who knows? Who cares?
Jesus can sort it out.
Because you see, the Holy Spirit is here.
And it is by the power of the Holy Spirit.
That Jesus did these things.
If Jesus wanted to heal people 2,000 years ago,
let me tell you something, my friend.
He's never changed his mind about that.
If Jesus wanted to cast out devils 2,000 years ago,
my friend, he's never changed his mind about that.
In fact, the book of 1 John 3:8 says, for this reason the Son of God was made to destroy the works of the devil.
Which means that Jesus came explicitly to destroy the works of Satan,
which attracts disease and sickness.
Because we know that sickness and disease was not created.
It came into this world.
It came into this world
by Satan became the legal ruler.
And the Bible tells us in the New Testament that Jesus came to destroy that.
He still wants to destroy it in your life.
He wants to destroy it in my life.
If you understand this, he's already destroyed it.
We just have to apply it.
We have to have faith.
You know, Jesus at one stage looked at the disciples and he said,
Man, will the Son of Man still find any faith when he comes back to this earth?
You know, when I sometimes think to myself, if he said that to the disciples who witnessed all these miracles, what would he say if he sees you and I?
Because man, we really battle with faith.
You see, I don't know if it's just because of the age that we live in.
Because of all the technology. Because man just became way too clever.
Man just became way too clever.
In a lot of cases, man feels they don't really need God.
Why would you need God if you can cure that, and this medicine can cure that, and this machine can do this, and this thing can do that, etc.
A lot of us think God is a figment of somebody's imagination.
It's difficult to believe in God when there's like a thousand other religions better.
That everybody's telling you is better.
In fact, a lot of people worship God. Today they tell you that by self-diagnosing and this and that, you can find out everything.
It's all in the mind.
If you've been listening to Radio Jack Aran, you've got this stupid thing going on now about how your mind can do all of this, and your mind can control you, and your mind can control you, and your heart can control you, and your heart can control you.
Man can't do it all himself.
We need God.
We need God.
So yes.
Jesus didn't touch them.
Jesus didn't.
No,
Jesus didn't touch the man.
No,
with
Jesus didn't touch the man. He simply commanded.
He simply commanded.
Was Jesus when he speaks?
Because Jesus, when he speaks the word of God.
He speaks the word.
You see, Jesus is called in the New Testament.
The word in the New Testament.
The word. He speaks the word of God.
The word of God.
The word of God was spoken. The word of God was spoken
in the beginning.
In the beginning,
God spoke and He said.
God spoke and He said.
Let there be light.
He didn't make the light.
He didn't make the light.
He spoke
and the light was.
And the light was.
He doesn't have to make you well.
He doesn't have to make you well.
He can speak you well.
And you will be well.
Well, bless God.
Amen.
So now, bless God. So now, the lepers
definitely had faith to believe in Jesus.
Had faith to believe in Jesus.
They'd heard the stories.
They'd heard.
They probably knew people that had already been
healed
by Jesus.
Already been healed by Jesus.
So you know what?
Probably didn't battle with unbelief the way you and I sometimes.
Let me be very honest.
Let me be very honest.
Especially in the society and in the age that we live in right now.
People are skeptical. People are skeptical.
Raise your hands if you are skeptical.
I know some of you don't want to raise your hands right now.
But I'm telling you that people are
skeptical. Because there's a lot of shysters out there.
Because there's a lot of shysters out there that'll try and do this and find you.
Try and do this and
lie to you, etc., etc.
Lie to you, etc., etc.
And we are not,
exposed
to divine
healing.
The way that people were exposed
in the way that people were exposed
to divine healing when Jesus walked this planet.
So when somebody says this one was healed,
immediately think to themselves,
okay, how did they perpetrate this scam?
Did they push a guy with no problem,
a guy in a wheelchair,
and then somebody commanded,
and then he got up
for this
and
that?
People do heard stories like
it's a sad thing,
but people do that.
It's a sad thing, but people
do that.
That's why a lot of people
refuse to believe in these things.
It's outside of the fact that a lot of churches tell us
that these things don't exist.
These things do.
They are real. The Word of God says that they are real.
They are real. The Word of God says that they are real.
When the Son of Man comes
back,
will he still find faith, man?
We're going to help him to find
faith.
We must find that faith
because we must.
We must choose to rather believe.
You shouldn't be skeptical.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't be skeptical
because you can't be gullible either in
because
the kingdom of God.
There are a lot of people out there that will try and con you.
Even with I have a friend, I won't name his name.
I refuse to do business with Christians
because every time in his life that he's
been
really done in, it's because he trusted them implicitly.
Because he trusted them implicitly.
Really sad,
and that's really
very
sad.
That's very sad.
Yes.
I'm sure you're not skeptical about God.
Well, bless
God.
Now,
because they had heard,
seen,
and they believed.
So when Jesus said, "Go show yourself,"
they were instantly excited.
They were instantly
because
excited.
They knew that they knew in their
because
hearts.
They knew that they knew in their hearts.
Healed.
And they so they suddenly, jogged off,
and as they were going towards the priest,
they were healed.
Now,
they were healed.
Now,
let's face some facts here.
If you had leprosy,
just imagine for one second that you
We know that it was predominantly a
all sorts
skin
of
disease,
things and all stuff
all over your skin
and stuff all over your skin.
Normally a white crust,
over your skin.
When you looked at yourself,
the evidence of leprosy was everywhere.
Now the reason why I'm saying that is.
Let's say somebody is in this room tonight and they have AIDS.
They have HIV.
And we pray for them.
It would be very difficult for us to
say that that person is really healed.
They would probably first have to do some tests.
The person might heal in themselves if they are healed.
Because you can't visit
the HIV is gone.
Do you get what I'm saying?
That's right, difficult.
It's the same with
maybe certain
if it's an internal thing, you can pray for the person and they might feel something happening inside.
A doctor would probably have to check
it.
Wow, you know what? The growth is gone.
Leprosy is a little bit different.
Because you can see it.
It's extremely visible.
It's extremely visible.
So you don't have to wonder whether you are healed.
You don't have to wonder whether you are healed.
Everybody can see that you are healed.
Everybody can see that you are
healed. I mean, if your skin is as smooth as a baby's
bottom,
then we know that leprosy is.
So they are on their way to the priest, show themselves to the priest,
and suddenly they notice
all the white stuff is gone.
All the white stuff is gone.
All the scabs and all the boils
and whatever it is that they had oils and whatever it is that they had all over their skin anymore
is gone. They're not eating anymore.
Their skin is as smooth as a baby's
bottom.
And their skin is as smooth as a
baby's
bottom.
And they begin to rejoice.
Now, they know that they are healed.
But you see, they still have to go to the priest.
And that would allow them back into society without that, they would still be an outcast.
So now,
understand.
So now,
they're on their way back.
Now, just bear with me.
I know that not everybody that has yet tonight used their life as being absolutely perfect. But who of you would say that you've got a fairly good life?
What is your name?
What is one of the things that you enjoy about your life?
Singing.
Bless God.
What is one of the things you enjoy about life?
Getting up in the morning and serving God.
What is one of the things you enjoy?
Doing sports.
Who do you enjoy socializing with your friends?
Who do you enjoy spending time with your family?
Who do you enjoy the outdoors, fishing, cycling, walking?
Okay.
The point that I'm trying to make is this.
Even these lepers had a life before they became lepers.
And I can tell you, if you've lost that life for some reason, you will miss it. In fact, I'm telling you right now, they even missed picking up the dog.
I promise you.
Because where they were right now, they couldn't.
And Job was probably sitting there saying to himself, man, if only I can do all those chores that my wife has been nagging me to do for the last.
I'll do them without complaining.
Because when they take away everything, even the tiniest little meaningless thing in life
becomes something great and wonderful.
Because these people have not been in society for many years, and as they're on their way towards the priest, their mind is going, I can't wait to do this, I can't wait to do that.
They're excited.
You see, they probably missed their family. They probably missed their friends.
They definitely missed girls.
Hello?
They missed all the parties they haven't had for the last couple of years. They missed other fellowship with other people.
And we all know that boys will be boys.
They missed being one of the boys.
I know that they weren't women, but even men are sometimes prone to this.
They missed hearing the latest juicy gossip.
Because nobody told them nothing.
They probably missed drinking in the local pub.
They definitely missed what money you earned while you were a leper. You didn't earn nothing.
And possibly some of them even had their own business. And they couldn't wait to get back there and start doing something with their life.
You see, there was nine of them. They had been thinking about their life, missing out on everything that they've missed out on, and they couldn't wait to get back into society.
They were not going to waste even one second getting to the priest because they wanted to get back to their life.
But you see, there was this one man who also thought about all of these things. The thing is, he also had a life before he became a leper.
He also had a girlfriend or a wife back home that he hadn't seen for many years.
Maybe he also had a lazy boy in front of the television.
But then he thought about something else.
But then he thought about something else.
And he thought to himself that.
And he thought to himself that.
He realized
that there was something
that there was
that he had just encountered.
That he had just encountered.
That was so much.
That
infinitely
was so
better,
much infinitely better
than the life
that he
than
came
the life
out of.
That he came out of.
And he realized that is what he needed.
And he realized that
more
is what he
needed
in this world.
More than anything in this world.
You see,
the nine wanted to get back
to socializing.
To socializing.
They wanted to get back to
having fun.
They wanted to go back to where they came from.
This man wanted to go back to the one who healed him.
He wanted to go back to Jesus.
And that's what makes him so different.
Now there's something interesting that we find in this story.
Nine of them were Jews, one of them was a Samaritan.
And you see, Jews and Samaritans generally did not mix.
They couldn't stand one another.
But when you were a leper,
you could probably not do a lot for yourself.
Because I'm sure there was a lot of stuff that you needed, all the help you could get.
You needed all the help you could get.
So the lepers would live together, and they would have to help one another.
They would have to be there for one another.
Encourage one another.
And do little things for one another.
When the other was probably too sick to do it.
And you see, the thing is, when they were joined together by this common bond that they were living under,
they had no problem with one another.
Liking one another.
They had no problem living together.
They had no problem adjusting to one another, etc.
What I find very interesting is the moment they get healed, one goes the one way, and the nine goes the other way.
You see, the Jews did not like to mix with the Jews because the Jews viewed themselves as better.
The Samaritans were like inferior.
And the Jews were a clique.
And you see, the thing is, cliques are not good.
Because when you have a clique, the clique is always trying to give everybody around that is not part of the clique the impression that they are not good enough.
Who have you ever been in any kind of group where inside of the group there was a clique? How does the clique normally make you feel?
They make you feel like you are not good enough. And it's not necessarily always something to do with body language. It's got to do with the way people treat you.
When they all laugh and they all enjoy things, and the moment you come there, it's weird, everybody sits there.
I mean, nobody has to say nothing. You just know that you know. I'm not.
And slowly but surely you get the idea that these people are better than me.
Or they think that they are better than me.
And you know what that hurts?
That is quite bad.
You see, one thing that I find very sad is these people that used to live together, cry together, laugh together,
this curse of leprosy together.
The moment their situation changed,
They again separated. Now,
cliques are bad, but can I tell you what is worse?
A clique in the church. A clique in the church.
And my friend, let me tell you something, the churches are full of cliques.
You know how many people get hurt in the church?
Because they feel that they are not accepting from a spirit of rejection, and then that is something that they have to deal with. I've been around the block enough times to know there are often cliques in churches.
There are often these little elite groups that for some reason feel that they are better than the rest.
My friend, let me help you out.
There's one of three realities here.
First reality is you're probably not part of a clique
and you couldn't be. Good
second reality is, you're not part of the clique, but you're not part of the clique
and rejected by the cliques
many times. And you've
the third reality is, you are part of the
third reality is, you are part of the clique.
Problem.
And you are part of the problem.
And I want to say this to you that,
from a biblical point of view,
from a biblical perspective,
nobody is better than nobody else.
This is one of the things that man,
brings into the church.
You see, from a worldly point of view,
A lot of people are elevated.
We take our pop stars, for example.
If you look at the lifestyle that some
if you look at the things that they say and you look at the things that they
say and you look at the things that they do,
man, there is no way that they deserve
the world elevates them all the time.
The world elevates them all the time.
The world worships them.
The world
worships them. They are gods.
As if they are gods.
Every favor,
whatever is lavished on them,
extravagances are lavished on them.
These people just click their little fingers and everybody has to jump.
Based on their recommendation,
People are fired or hired.
But you see, the thing is, in the kingdom of God,
nobody is better than nobody else.
And let me tell you something, the pastor is no better than you.
And I am no better than you.
It is man that tends to put people
on this little pedestal.
And nobody should really be on a pedestal.
Because in the eyes of God, we are all
God is not a respecter of man.
The moment that we give
we create a situation
where cliques could quickly form.
Because somebody has built a certain wing in the school,
But
unfortunately, from a worldly point of view,
you can often see that they are treated much
simply
better.
Because their father has money,
or they live in a certain area.
From a biblical point of view, my friend,
Jesus died.
Let me help you out,
For everybody, loved the world.
For God so loved the world,
Jesus
doesn't ask you, what do you earn?
Jesus doesn't ask you, where do you live?
Jesus doesn't ask you, where do you live?
And if it's not in uptown,
Jesus doesn't ask you, what do you drive?
Jesus doesn't ask you, what do you drive?
And if it doesn't have a circle in front,
you can't get saved.
Hello?
Now, I'm not referring to VW.
Okay, don't stress.
You see, Jesus doesn't look at any of that.
He'll save you whether you've got big bucks.
He'll save you whether people acknowledge you or they don't.
Because Jesus Himself
will not turn His back on you.
It hasn't broken off, it's just now sort of hanging like that.
That doesn't refer to reeds.
That refers to people.
Sometimes the world has done that to you,
They've walked over us, they've tried to make us feel like we are nothing.
Unfortunately, when we come into the kingdom, we bring that mentality to the kingdom, I'm not even good enough for ourselves.
Man, I'm not even good enough for God.
Now I've messed up so many times, He won't even accept me, my friend.
Rubbish.
God is excited about you, even though
He sees something about you that people don't.
So now,
the Samaritans and the Jews separate.
Luke chapter 17, verse 15.
When he saw that he was healed,
Came back praising God in a loud voice.
He threw himself at Jesus' feet and he was a Samaritan.
You see, the Samaritan had just as much
than what the Jews had.
He had a family.
He had a life.
He had a life.
But instead of going back to that,
instantly,
he realized that God had done a miracle.
He
had received something that day that all the money in the world could not.
And he realized.
That none of the things that he lost
was even remotely as important.
In his life that day.
So he realized that the most important.
Thing for him was not to go back, not to run to the pub and see which of the locals are there.
Not to quickly phone up his girlfriend and tell her, "Listen, honey, I'm back."
But to go and say thank you properly.
For the miracle that Jesus had done.
You know what? It's quite clear that Jesus was a bit taken aback when only this one man came back. Luke 17, verse 17 to 18.
Weren't all ten of you clean? Now where then are the other nine?
Was no one found to return and give praise to God?
Foreigner?
Jesus never told them to come back.
But it's clear that he did expect them to come back.
How many of you know that it's just good manners to say thanks?
How many times are you going to do something wonderful for somebody if they are not thankful?
Probably once.
If you do something wonderful for somebody.
You could just see by their whole attitude they're quite thankless.
They're actually quite thankless.
There is no thankfulness, no appreciation for what you have done. Will you do it again?
Will you do it again?
No, probably not. You're special.
But mankind is generally like that.
And I can't say that it's wrong.
Because thankfulness doesn't cost you much, does it?
Cost you nothing. What seemed to surprise Jesus even more was that it wasn't even any of the Jews.
The ones that you would expect should be praising God.
They were nowhere to be found because they were jawing away somewhere.
And you know what? Unfortunately, that's true of a lot of people.
We want to know God when we need Him, but the moment He's done what we wanted Him to do, we are nowhere to be found.
And I know that in an essence, I'm praising God because praise God, at least you had.
But I need you to think about this.
Because a lot of us have done that.
When the pawpaw hits the fan, you run to tell you need God.
Big time.
Because now you need God. Big time.
Now, Seven Dalan is suddenly not important anymore.
And hanging with the buddies is not important. You've got only God to support the thing, and you're there quick, quick, he must fix it.
But what happens after he's fixed it?
Are you still there?
Are we still there?
Or do we do what these nine others did, fade away like the flower?
Fade away like the wind.
I don't know about you.
But I've been in the ministry now for 14 years.
14 years.
I've seen God do wonderful things for people.
And I can't tell you that many of those people have really been thankful.
Because what I did notice is human nature is to take, not really give.
But not really. They will take the healing. They will take the deliverance.
God mustn't think that he's going to go because the world is waiting for me.
Because the world is waiting for me. Now I can go back and drink again.
Now I can go and make merry with my friends.
Because my problem is taken care of.
I want you to notice Jesus' reaction.
When they did not come back.
He was not only surprised.
He was hurt.
Because they did not come back.
He expected a lot better of them.
Luke 17:19, Jesus arise and go.
For your faith has made you well.
This Samaritan had already received
a wonderful blessing
by He'd been healed of his leprosy.
He'd been healed
just like
of his
the nine
leprosy.
Others.
Just like the nine others.
Of his leprosy.
He was healed of
but
his leprosy.
But you see, there was one mess.
But you see, there was
difference.
One
mess
between
this Samaritan.
Between this and the nine
Samaritan
others that were
and
also
the nine
healed.
Others that were also healed. It was only the one that came back
it
and
was
said,
only
the one that came back and said,
it was
only the one that fell down on his knees. Only the one that fell down on his knees and began to praise God.
The miracle that God had done.
And the miracle that God
had
done.
The greatest blessing.
That received the greatest blessing
of all.
Something much better than physical healing.
Something
much better than physical healing. This man did not only believe in Jesus.
This man did not only believe in Jesus to be healed.
He also believed that Jesus was the Son of God.
And he wanted to be with.
And he wanted to be with God.
The Son of God.
The nine Jews received
the nine
a
Jews blessing,
received a priest's blessing
that they were cleansed
that they
of,
were
their
cleansed.
Of their leprosy.
The Samaritan received Jesus. The Samaritan received Jesus' blessing. Which blessing would you want? Which blessing would you want? The priest or Jesus? The priest or Jesus? Which one speaks the words of life?
Which one speaks the words of life?
The priest or Jesus?
The Samaritan received Jesus'
the
own blessing that he was
cleansed.
His own blessing that he was
not just of his,
not
just of his leprosy,
but the way in which Jesus said it.
But the way in which
Jesus
said
it
to him.
Jesus said
to
him,
"You are also cleansed.
You are also
cleansed of all of your sins."
The literal translation of your
the literal
faith
translation
well.
Of your faith has made you well.
Would be your faith. Would be your
has
faith.
Saved you. Has saved.
If you read some of the other English translations,
if you read some of the other English translations,
I read you from
the New International Version is translated.
The New International Version is translated.
Your faith.
A lot of the other English translations,
a lot of the other English translations are translated.
Your faith
has
you
saved
you.
Can you understand the phenomenal difference between being healed and being saved?
My friend, you can be healed of
my friend, you can
disease,
be healed of cancer,
sickness,
disease,
who knows
cancer,
whatever the case might be,
who knows whatever the case might
be,
and you can still be on a highway to hell.
Jesus once said in the book of
Matthew chapter 11, verse 20.
That a lot of the cities in which he
that
did
a lot of the cities
miracles,
in which he did his
greatest
miracles
repent. Would not repent.
The fact that God heals somebody
or does
a miracle for
somebody
doesn't
mean
miracle for somebody
doesn't
mean that they are
ordered
to repent.
And until
repent.
You have repented, you can't
and until you have repented, you can't
hello?
Be saved.
Hello?
The criteria for salvation
the criteria
is
for salvation is repentance.
Repentance means you turn your back.
Repentance means you turn your back
on your former life.
You turn your back
on
your
former life.
You turn your back on your wicked ways.
The nine was not interested in
repenting.
The nine was not interested in repenting.
They were only interested in a quick fix.
In a quick fix.
We live in an age where that's all.
We live in an age where that's all most people want.
They just want a quick.
They just want a quick.
I got problems. My wife wants to leave.
I got problems.
My wife wants to leave.
Times in a row.
You think God will sort
times in a row?
Do you think God will sort
it? I don't think so.
My friend, I don't think so.
I'm addicted to this and that and what I want.
If you pray for me once, will it all be okay?
If you pray for me once, will it all be okay?
No, I don't think so.
You see, that's not the way it works.
You see, that's not the way it works.
God wants all of you.
God wants all of you.
He's not in the business of quick fixes.
He's not in the business of quick fixes.
And let's be very honest.
And let's be very
all
honest.
All the quick fixes that they propagate,
all
on,
the
television
that they
work,
propagate on the television.
Who of you have bought
the
little fat pills?
Who of you have bought the little fat pills?
And Fatima Ghee, did they work?
And Fatima Ghee, did
no.
they work?
No.
Yeah, they don't work, hey.
Yeah, they don't work, hey.
Whether it's in the world, whether it's in the
whether
kingdom,
it's in the world, whether it's in the kingdom,
really no such thing
there
as
is just
fix.
Really no such thing as a quick fix.
The Samaritan
received an earthly blessing.
Received an earthly blessing.
With the nine others, and by that I mean
with the nine others,
and by that I mean
healing for his
but
body.
He also received an eternal.
But he also received an
when
eternal
he came back
blessing.
To Jesus,
when he
came
back to
eternal
Jesus.
Life,
he received eternal life.
You know what?
You know,
from
what?
That point of view, it might be a lot
from
better.
From that point
to
of view,
it might be a lot better
to
die and go to heaven,
affliction and die, and go
to
be healed down here and go to hell.
And to be healed down here and go to hell.
All of the lepers met the only
all
man
of the lepers
the met the only man
who had the ability
change,
to transform
their
whole
and change
lives.
All
their
ten
whole
of them met that
lives.
Man. All ten of them,
all
only one
man.
Put his faith in that man.
Only one put his faith in that man.
Which one do you want to be?
Which one do you want to be?
You see, the other nine only wanted
Jesus.
You see, the other nine only wanted Jesus to
change their
immediate
circumstances.
Their attitude was, don't change my life.
Their attitude
was,
don't
change my life. I'm not ready for
that.
Just change my problem.
Jesus
wants to Jesus change lives. Wants to change lives. That's why he came. That's why
he came to save you.
He came to save
he
you.
He came to restore your relationship.
He came to restore
God.
Your relationship.
He came that
God.
You might become
he came sons,
that you might
and,
become
daughters
sons of
and
daughters
God.
Of God. God.
Not acquaintances of
not
God.
Not acquaintances
sons
of God.
And daughters.
Sons.
Tell me something. And daughters. Tell me something.
Who gets the inheritance?
Who gets the inheritance?
Sons.
The daughter
the
or
son?
The acquaintance?
The daughter or the acquaintance?
The son or the daughter?
The son or the daughter.
There is an inheritance waiting for
there
you.
There is an inheritance waiting
but if
for
you.
You
want it, you better become
but if
a
you
son
want it, you better become
a son
of God.
Or a daughter of God.
The Samaritan had the right attitude.
The Samaritan had
the
right
attitude.
Heart.
He
and
the
that
right
is why
heart.
He ended up getting
and
that is why he ended up getting
infinitely more than all the
you
others.
See, true thankfulness will always
true thankfulness
will
heart.
Always touch someone's heart.
Just as an ungrateful attitude,
just as an ungrateful attitude
in their mouth
will leave a bitter taste in
and
their
And God
mouth.
Is no different.
And God is no different.
In fact, God's word makes it
in
very
fact,
God's
clear.
Word makes it very
that
clear.
As children of God, we should
that
be children
of God, we should
be cultivating
spirit.
A grateful
spirit.
Philippians chapter 4 verse 6.
Philippians
chapter 4 verse 6.
Do not be anxious about
do
anything.
Not be anxious about anything.
But in everything, by prayer and
but
petition,
in everything,
by prayer
and
petition,
with
thanksgiving,
to God.
Present your requests.
Notice
to
that
God.
The word thanksgiving
notice that the word there because when you pray
in there because
when you pray you should be thankful.
I don't know about you, but that's difficult.
I don't know about you, but that's difficult.
Especially when you're going through trials and tribulations.
Especially when you're going through trials and tribulations.
When mankind goes through trials and
tribulations,
the last thing that we want to
be
is thankful because we're upset because the car was stolen.
We're upset
because the car was stolen.
We're upset
because the cell phone was hijacked. We're upset because the children aren't listening to us.
We're upset because Eskom is getting
clever. We're upset because Eskom is getting clever, you know? And so now, when we pray to God,
and
so now, when we pray to God, we come with
this
upset
attitude,
and when are you
going
to do this,
and
when are you
going to
do this,
people
and
in the world,
they're not suffering, and look at
the world, they're not suffering, and look at me.
Respectfully, we often come to God with a completely wrong attitude.
Because the thing is, you know what, Eskom might be up to.
The thing is, you know what, Eskom might be up to.
Mischief,
and there might be a recession.
And,
all over
this
there
planet.
Might be a recession all over this planet,
and there might be a whole bunch of other
and
stuff
there might
happening
be a whole
right
bunch
now,
of other stuff happening right
now.
Now. Just go sit down and
listen
for
a
just
minute.
Go sit down and think for a minute.
How much have you really got to be?
How much have you really got to be thankful for?
Lots,
lots.
But do you ever tell God that?
But do you ever tell God that?
If you do, bless God.
If
not,
you do,
bless God
about it.
If not, start thinking about it.
Because he expects it.
Because he expects it.
1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16
1 Thessalonians
says,
5 verse
16 to 18 says,
always.
Be joyful,
pray continuously.
Pray
give
continuously
in all
give
circumstances.
In
all
circumstances.
How difficult is that?
And how difficult is
my
that?
My car has just been stolen, Lord.
My car has just been stolen, Lord.
Thank you.
Man, they'll lock you up. Man, they'll lock you up. They'll lock you up. They'll lock you up.
Maybe you can't be
maybe
thankful that
you
moment
can't
that your car is stolen.
That moment that your car is stolen.
But possibly there is something that you can
but possibly
be thankful
there
for.
Is something that you can be thankful
Lord, my
for.
Car has just been stolen.
Lord,
thank
my car has
I
just been stolen.
It.
Thank you that I wasn't in it.
Lord, my car has just been stolen. But
Lord,
my car has
just
been stolen.
One,
but I know you're going to give me a better one. Thank you.
See, it's all about how our attitude is.
See,
and the
it's
way
all about
we
how
look
our attitude is and the way we look at life.
I can be positive because I know
I
who my
be
father is.
Because I know who my father is.
I know who my father is, and you know
I
what?
Know
he's got
my
this way of doing something
you know
wonderful in the midst of
doing
chaos.
Something wonderful in the midst of chaos.
He does awesome things.
He does awesome
when
things
when the devil least expects it.
When the devil least expects it.
And you know what? Sometimes he just gives the devil
and
enough
you know
rope
to hang
he just gives the devil enough rope to hang himself.
Okay, you stole my son's.
Okay, you stole my
so,
son's.
So far.
Just wait till
so,
you
so
see
far.
What I'm going to give him.
Just
in
wait
return.
Till you see what I'm going to give him.
Bless God.
Bless God.
Hello.
Okay, see, you've not been kicked out of that house.
Okay, see, you've not been kicked out of that house.
Man, I've got a mansion for them. Just hang on.
You see, the thing is, when we start cultivating
the
right, when we start cultivating the right,
we are
going to
go into a much deeper dimension.
Into a much
blessing.
Deeper dimension of God's blessing.
The nine lepers, the ten lepers,
the nine lepers,
and all
the ten
of them were blessed.
Jesus,
because when you come
into
them were blessed. Because
when
you
come
into
the
presence
of Jesus,
your life,
you will be blessed.
You will be blessed.
Switch it on so that it can go so long.
Switch it on so that it can go so long.
When you meet with Jesus, you meet with Jesus.
You
will.
That's just a
fact
of life.
Blessed. That's just a fact of life.
But then you must understand that.
But then you must understand
that I made is only the first.
There is a much
deeper.
There is a much
deeper
dimension.
That
of God's
will
manifest
that
your
attitude,
manifest towards
your
God,
attitude
towards
and
God,
in the kingdom
of God
and in the kingdom of God
is right.
You start working on and you start cultivating a grateful spirit.
And you wait and see
how the deeper things of God begin, to manifest
in your life.
You see, healing can disappear again overnight.
I'm not saying this lightly, but
let's just be practical. You might pray and God might heal you of,
let's say, arthritis. But tomorrow some schmuck stops and drives into your car and they have to amputate your foot.
Come on, things like this can happen. I'm not speaking it over anybody. I'm just trying to make a point here.
So the thing is, you might be healed of something today. Tomorrow you might need healing again.
Tomorrow you might need healing again.
But once you are saved, you are saved.
And once you enter into the kingdom of God, you need to inherit the blessings that are stored up for you in heavenly places.
That is a wonderful dimension. The Bible says our inheritance is safe with God in heaven.
The devil can't get there, my friend.
There is stuff about me that God has up there that Satan freaks out about because he can't get there to steal it.
The things of the Spirit of God in my life, he can never have.
He can afflict my health. He can afflict my wealth.
But he cannot afflict my spiritual wealth.
Because that is coupled to Jesus.
Amen.
So here's what we're going to do now.
I don't know about you.
But I know
that there have been many times in my life.
There have been many times in my life when I've had an absolute grateful heart, a grateful spirit.
There have been times in my life when I've taken out my anger on God,
which is not right.
And I realized while I was doing this sermon that I've got a lot to work on.
I've got a lot of gratefulness in the area of gratefulness.
The Bible says, be grateful, be thankful.
When all things happen, the first thing we do is we throw a tantrum.
It's just a thought, but maybe we should do something different.
Are we going to need help there?
But God can help you.
That's what He wants to do.
The Holy Spirit, that's what He wants to do.
So here's what we're going to do.
You will see that there is a song entitled Praise. What did the Samaritan do when he came to Jesus?
He fell on his knees and he began to worship God.
So what I want you to do now, you're not just going to sing this as a normal praise song.
This is going to be a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Father in heaven, from whom all good things come down upon us.
Can we end off like this?
Whenever you are ready.
Raise the Spirit, 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 ra
Thank you, you may sit down. Please take hands, everybody. Find somebody whose hand you can take. Let us end off in prayer. Father God, please forgive us. For every time when we have forgotten that. We really need to be thankful. Please forgive us, Lord, for the times when you have done wonderful things for us. And we have failed to praise you, to glorify your name. Lord, tonight, we come before you and we honor you.
As our provider, our healer.
Lord, you are our deliverer.
You are our redeemer.
And Lord, every single one of us. If we think about it, we really do have a lot to be thankful. Lord, thank you so much for the gift of eternal life.
Thank you so much, Lord, that you brought the punishment of sin upon your son.
Because you loved us. And you wanted to spare us. Thank you, Lord, that you have a wonderful purpose for every one of our lives.
And thank you, Lord.
That we have the right to be called children.
That we have the right to be called children of God.
We honor you tonight, Lord.
We bless you, and we bless you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Bless God.
Amen.
Give the Lord a big hand.
Rosie, would you come and help us, please?